All right, A Woman Who Reflects the Heart of Jesus, 30 Ways to Christ-like Character, the book, I believe, yes, it is available in the back if you'd like to get it, and feel free to, like I said, have it with you and look at it while we're going through these times, because I do want you to keep the things that God gives us, and having the material right there in front of you is a big help. Now, we are going through these character traits as the book gives them. They are not in topical progression. They are alphabetical. So it's not going to be a developed type like the last one. So I won't be reviewing much unless I'm in one of the chapters and didn't finish it and I go back and finish the chapter, which actually will help us move a little faster on things by doing it that way. But I've mentioned that a few times right here, so you realize that there is not a scheme to the order except alphabetically. And so the first one, it was approachable. And we looked last week at approachable to the outcast. And let me stop here. It's interesting. It starts with one of the more subtle problems that we have. I would think every lady here would say, well, I'm a lady. I'm approachable. You know, I care about people. And I think if I was to ask you, if let's say we did a survey and we were looking at different traits that you have, and this was one of many traits you were to rate yourself from 1 to 5, you would probably have ranked yourself pretty high, because we and I would have thought so too. I would think, like to think we're approachable. But the point of this study is for us to realize we aren't as strong in these areas many times as we think we are. And the term deceive, you know, lies that women believe, the last series was helpful because it was just straightforward about some of the things that we have a misunderstanding on. And to the outcast, those that we would not normally want to spend time with, or are people that cause us to shrink back, do we really? Are we really approachable? And then we looked at the matter of approachable to the concerned, to the hopeless. And this is the burden of people who are in real need is time consuming. And we honestly, humanly, don't like to be burdened down with the problems of someone else. I've got enough problems myself. I don't need to be, you know, having to feel these. Well, that's the human, but it is the human reality. And that's where discipleship comes in. That's where caring about people comes in. And it does take time. Do we really care? Now, we have to be wise, obviously, and follow the Lord's leadership. And then to the concerned, we're so busy, people have needs. But let me move right on, just for time's sake, to the fourth part of this chapter, and that is approachable to the unimportant. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 19. Now let me ask you, as they ask here, was Jesus important? Is anyone out there? Was Jesus important? Yes. Oh, yes, okay. Was he seen as important to the crowds at this point? And the answer would be yes, he was. Obviously, the Sanhedrin looked down on him, but to the people in general, he was seen as very important. He was having a huge amount of influence. He was seen as an esteemed rabbi. And so we read in verse 13 of chapter 19 of Matthew, then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. Now, let me stop right here. Did the parents who brought the children think he was approachable? And the answer is yes. He was important. And in the society of that day, important people did not condescend to handling children or people that were not of standing in society. It's different than what we would think. There was a very clear awareness of social strata. And so for parents to bring their children so he would lay their hands on those children tells us a lot about how people perceived Christ. The question is, how do people perceive us? That's a big question. We would like to think that people think we're approachable, but do they really? And so let's go back here. And the disciples received them and put them in line. No, that's not what we find here, okay? The disciples had the very attitude that the author here is trying to get across. They rebuked these parents that were coming. And why did they rebuke them? Because Jesus was important. And they were important. They were his right-hand men. And of course, one day he was going to rule and they were going to be part of his cabinet, you know, and sit on the right hand and the left hand of Jesus Christ. They were somebody. This was a waste of time with little children. That's exactly what they were thinking. And then Jesus said, verse 14, "Suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." A great verse on the fact that you have to have the spirit of a little child, that humility, if you're going to be saved. And of course, he was concerned about everyone. But then he goes against what his disciples had said there. And in verse 15, "And he laid his hands on them." He took the time, the creator of the universe, all-powerful King of Kings and Lord of Lords, took time to lay his hands and bless these little children. And it's very interesting, the term there, little, is little, little children. And I just as a side note, little children can get saved. I don't say what age they can be saved. I think you have to be careful that they really understand, but it makes it very clear here that of such is the kingdom of God, and he laid his hands on them. And I have a feeling that these that were brought to these children, most of them were probably in heaven today because they had come to Jesus. It's an exciting thought. But the point here is, do we at times think too highly of ourselves? Are there folks that it just is a little bit below our dignity to take time with? Maybe it's children. Maybe it's teenagers. One thing that I really endeavor to do, I'm not saying I do it perfectly, but you know, little children, when I walk by them in the hallway, a lot of times they're focused on something else and headed down that hallway fast, but if I can catch their attention, they are important and they need to know that they're important. And I like to encourage, I mention every so often, even to our deacons, don't forget the little children in our church. They need to know you care. They need to see you treat them as a very real little person. And so it isn't just children, though. You know, none of us want to admit that we would consider anyone else less important to us. But let's just take it from a not so negative perspective. Is your family the most important to you? And it's not wrong to say yes, okay? Yes. I mean, if your child wants to talk to you under normal circumstances, what are you going to want to do? You're going to want to talk to them. And I always tell young preacher boys, the one thing you better do is your children need to know that when you have an office as a pastor, they're the one person that can come in, not being disrespectful of someone else, but they have the right to come in. In other words, you're approachable for your children. You're approachable for your wife. You're approachable for your family. That's right. Are there some friends that are very important to you? If they call you, you'll drop anything to help them? Is that not true? That's not wrong, okay? What I'm trying to say is, whether we like to admit it or not, some people have a greater interest, and they should. We have responsibilities, we've got people that we're committed to, and that is legitimate. But what do we do with people that don't have any of those connections? Do we still see people as people? And that's a question you have to ask yourself. And are we approachable? And do people really know that if they needed to talk to you, they could talk to you? Because you are aware of them in a positive way. You know, I know we get consumed with our own problems. I know we sometimes distractions are on our minds. But when you are around people, especially in the context of a local church, but even in the community, greet people. Show your respect for them. And I have found that by making eye contact and being pleasant and giving greetings and maybe saying a nice word to somebody or in line at a grocery store or whatever, divine appointments open up, boom. It's amazing. People don't think they have all that many opportunities to reach people. You'd be surprised how many people if we were approachable. And all of a sudden, a simple little conversation can turn into an opportunity to at least share something spiritually and leave the gospel with them. And then greet everybody you can without being ridiculous, obviously. When you're at church, people need to, and you can't get everybody. I mean, I'm not saying, oops, I missed that person. You run back down the hallway. I'm not saying that kind of thing. But these are small little things, but it's a matter of the heart. We should come to church to give, not get. We'll get, but we ought to come to give. And if we can think that way, how many people can I touch? That's a real blessing. And then you'll be encouraged by others, obviously, as the giftings are working one to another. So that's very important. And obviously, people knew that Christ was that way. Approachable to the outsiders. In human history, there have always been tensions between different groups. We in America have tensions between groups now, and there is, whether we like to admit it or not, this matter of feeling important over other groups is unfortunately part of our selfish human nature. Now, we as believers know all of that is wrong, but we can know something is wrong and still not be necessarily responding right. I remember years ago, I can't remember, was I in Russia or somewhere, and I was thinking, you know, I'm actually thinking of myself on a higher plane because I'm an American. And I remember just being really convicted about that. Who do I think I am? Now, I'm thankful to be American. Even at our country, as our country has declined, I'm still proud to be an American. I'm unapologetic about being an American. I'm sure glad I got that dark blue passport. And I look at other passports, and I'm glad mine has a stamp of the United States on it. So I'm not saying that I'm at all ashamed in that sense. But you really are aware of it when you go to third world countries. And people are really limited. They don't know very much. They think you got everything. They'll bow and scrape. What really kills you is when they'll give something very valuable to you because they want to give you a gift. And of course, to you, it's really not that much. But to them, they really sacrificed to do it. I remember a couple that had just gotten out of prison in Soviet Russia. I was there while it was still the Soviet regime. And they were so excited about having several of us in their home. And so they spent a month's wage on the meal. And they were just overflowing with the privilege. And you know, it was a nice meal, but it definitely wasn't up to our standards because of the limited ability back in the Soviet regime to get the goods. And that just about broke my heart. I'm thinking, oh, I wish they could have kept the money. But you know, God, I'm sure, blessed them. They just radiated the joy of the Lord, talking about all that had happened while they were in prison for the cause of Christ. And I remember thinking, you know, I'm down here. These folks are up here. You know, you realize what really matters in life. And so we've got to be very careful. No one is less important than any others. And folks, we do have to be careful. We have a lot of reaction today with the leftist agenda that manipulates needy people in the whole political scheme of things. And I could name some of those kinds of movements, you know, the whole matter about police and race over the last 3 years or so. Or I could mention the whole immigration situation. Now, those are political issues that we have a right to take a position on from the way justice should be handled and the right way for law and order. But we cannot have a negative view toward people in those categories. Totally wrong. For instance, someone that comes in that we know is an immigrant, we don't ask them, are they legal or illegal? That's between them and the government. Now, if they tell us, we'll have to advise them what to do, but they don't tell you. We're just thankful we get to work with somebody, and they're no less important than anybody else. Now, these are tough things, right? I just got your attention. I very carefully walked my way through that political minefield there, and if I was in a larger group, I wouldn't bring it up, you know? But this is what it's talking about. And so bad attitudes toward any category of people is not right. You know, you got to be very careful. It's really tricky on the whole Islamic situation because, that whole situation is dangerous and the whole way our country has approached it. But the people from that background, do they need to be reached with the gospel? And the answer is yes. And does God love them individually as much as he loves us? Oh, yes. So we may have a very strong view that might be, we consider correct, but it ought not cause us to see people as outsiders that can't be reached. Does that make sense? I think it's very important. I think Christians get caught up and allow themselves to be affected, maybe by legitimate situations, but get hurt on that. And no one is inferior. And I'll tell you what, we send and spend a lot of money to send people to other countries to reach them with the gospel. And a lot of those countries are sitting right here next to us in our own neighborhoods, and we have a bad attitude toward them. Now, we don't like maybe the political structure that caused something to happen. Again, I'm not wanting to get into that. But the point is, God placed them in your neighborhood. Why? To reach them with the gospel. And so, are you approachable? It's really tricky sometimes. Are you approachable? Do you really care? And so those are things we have to work our way through. We want to be genuine Christians. Now what happens is religious liberals will play on this and cause you to become a political liberal because, you know, you want to be a good Christian. You follow me? And so we get caught in a tension between doing right by people and still understanding what maybe is best for the system of laws and government that we have. All right, yes.
I'm going to ask a question. I hope this is not correct, but there's, you know, the deaf and the special needs people in our church. I have no contact with them. I have some contact with a couple of people that are in the deaf department. Is there a way volunteer for
sure, you could.
Things.
They would love to have you help them. The problem is they have another language, and that's why it's not that easy. Now, those that have special needs, that's a great place to volunteer because they need people to be there very much, and they would just be thrilled. I tell you what, you can do: help me in the lobby and care about those people.
Because I was thinking, you know, a lot of times I just walk right past those people because I don't know what to do.
Last week, I had somebody waiting to talk to me, and one of our special needs persons was just going on and on and on. And I could tell they were frustrated that I didn't cut that person off and talk to them. But that dear person is as important as the other person. And there's more inside there than you know. Look them in the eye. Listen to them for a moment. You'd be amazed. You actually get into a decent little conversation. I'll tell you what, I always think about the fact when I get to heaven, they're going to have their whole mind. And I sure do want to have treated them right, you know. That's a minor reason, but it's a reality. And so that's a good question. That's it. And actually, Joan, what you're talking about is we get insecure.
It's like an unknown thing that I really don't think of as discrimination, but it really is.
Well, it's insecurity on your part and my part because we don't know what to do. And but you try to communicate to special needs, you try to communicate to deaf, and they'll be thrilled. And they can read your lips a lot more than you think. You'll have a harder time understanding them, but if you're not impatient and just show concern, wow. In fact, they'll do this, you know, and they'll be happy. So that's a good point. That she just gave an illustration that is really, it's not a tense aspect, you know, and it's important. Well, I'm going to have to go approachable to the insincere. I may have to say a word, though. That won't be our number one thing next week. But, you know, you work with a person and you really try to help them and then they just ignore what you've said. And you begin to think, I don't know if I'm going to waste the time on people. Bad thing to say. You're going to always be regularly burned as you're approachable. Believe me, as a pastor, I know how many times tears have been shed over people that didn't follow what they should follow. But for everyone that doesn't, somebody does. So you cannot cut yourself off because some people have been insincere with you, okay?